During the 1980s, Peru dealt with civil war. On one side, the Shining Path and its guerrilla insurgency. On the other, repressive government forces. The war is over now, and the economy in the capital is thriving again. But the effects of the war are still there. You can see them. They even affect the way people think about the spaces they live in. Annie Murphy, with our partners at Radio Ambulante, has a story from Lima.
At either end of the little street where I live, there are big iron gates. To get through, you have to pass a guard, and at night, the gates get locked. The neighbors say it keeps things private, and I see gates like this all over the city in all sorts of neighborhoods. But coming from the U.S., it still feels kind of weird. So when I meet architect and urban planner Manuel de Rivero, I ask him if it's even legal in Lima to gate off a public street.
Strangely enough, it is legal because in the 80s, 90s, this city was a war zone. We had car bombs and, it was a failed state. And since they couldn't deal with this insecurity, then they allowed for certain places to put gates.
And then more gates, till they were all over the place. Now the war has been over for about a decade. And though many feel the gates still provide security, De Rivero says that what they really do is make the city feel fragmented. And gates also make people think private spaces are better than public ones. That even applies to green spaces, he says.
Leisure is a new thing in Lima, you could say, because it has only, let's say, 10 years since the economy started to get better and the society became peaceful. But 20 years ago, there was no time for leisure. Therefore, not an issue.
De Rivero sends me off to the Huascar Park to see what he means. It's on the southern outskirts of Lima, in a working-class neighborhood called Villa Salvador. Outside, an old man's busking, next to vendors lined up with cotton candy and games. Inside, the park is huge. There are stands of eucalyptus and palm trees, soccer fields, basketball courts, a big lagoon, and all of it's surrounded by a big iron fence. Anyone over 12 has to pay to get in, about 50 cents on weekdays or a dollar on weekends. It's extra for the pool and tennis courts. There's even a $35 fee for taking videos. Mercedes Massa lives nearby. For work, she sells children's books on the street. She's here with her daughter, Genesis, who's climbing on a jungle gym. Mercedes says the park wasn't always so nice. She says now there are more games, there's a pool, and that she doesn't mind paying an entrance fee because it keeps the park running, that now there's no reason to envy Lima's wealthier neighborhoods. I remind her that some of the parks in those neighborhoods are free to the public. She just shrugs. She says that's not good, but I'm proud of living here, she says, because Villa Salvador has always been a forgotten part of the city. It's come a long way. Ana Zucchetti is the president of Lima's Parks Commission. She says that the way it's set up, there aren't enough government funds to run all the city's big public parks, like Huascar, hence the admission fees.
The truth is we've actually done surveys, and the public prefers to pay and get good service, a clean park, a safe park, rather than not to pay.
According to Manuel de Rivero, that's because even in peacetime, confidence in Lima's public institutions remains low.
But it's a different kind of city now, because it's a city where people have solved their issues by themselves. So this level, this idea of a community, or even worse, of institutions that care for the common good are non-existent.
But de Rivero says that it's okay if this notion of the public good has a ways to go. He's just happy to see the city making progress. Carlos Neda agrees. Neda goes to the Huascar Park at least twice a month with his two young daughters. He says he's grateful to have a big park where he can take his kids, and that he doesn't mind paying.
Porque es cómodo, es tranquilo, es grande.
Because the park is comfortable, it's calm, it's big, says Neda. And above all, there's a great variety of food here. And that, he says, is important. For Radio Ambulante in the World, I'm Annie Murphy in Lima.